Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and decay destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor decay destroys, nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be." The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. And if the light in you is darkness, how great the darkness will be. The Gospel of the Lord. Throughout the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is trying to recalibrate our entire existence to living with Him who fulfills the law, by helping us to learn through everything He says how to love God and love others, so that our holiness might be His and surpass that of the righteous pagans, not to mention the scribes and the Pharisees. Today Jesus is focusing us on what He has been saying the entire time. He's talking about where our heart is, what our real yearnings are. He says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, because it's basically all ephemeral. Moth and decay can destroy it. Thieves can break in and steal it. Store up, rather, treasures in heaven. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. It's an important thing for us to ask what we're really seeking, where our real treasure is. Is it genuinely in God, or is it in something else? The second image, Jesus says, reiterates the first. The lamp of the body is the eye. What are your eyes looking for? What are they trained on? If your eye is sound, if it's seeking the right stuff, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye's bad, and is, for example, going after one of the threefold concupiscences, the lust of the eyes, materialism, the lust of the flesh, carnal lust in general, or pride of life, to seek to dominate others, to look at others as servants rather than as ones to serve. If your eye is bad, corrupted in this way, your whole body will be in darkness. And if what you're taking in, what you're really seeking, is dark, how great will the darkness be? The corruption will just continue to metastasize. So the Lord wants us to see, is our heart really in God? Is our treasure really in God? Today's first reading, we have a passage that just doesn't come up all that often because of the way, for example, the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart happens, and how it can often substitute for Friday of the 11th week in Ordinary Time, other purposes. And it's hard sometimes when you hear about priests leading the slaying of others, especially in a New Jersey accent, to be able to say the word of the Lord and say, "Thanks be to God," at the end. But there's an important lesson that God is showing us here. What's the problem with the Davidic line? The Davidic line, so many of those figures, ancestors of the Lord Jesus, were seeking worldly things. They had been blessed so much by the Lord, but instead, their treasure wasn't the Lord and His will and His holiness. Their treasure became all these other things, and they began to worship the threefold concupiscences. We see this corruption happen even in Solomon. At the beginning, his heart was trained on the Lord. Give me a wise and understanding heart like yours, Lord, so that I might properly govern your people to seek the real treasure. But eventually wealth corrupted him. Eventually, so the pride of the eyes, the lust of the eyes. Eventually the flesh corrupted him. Not even 999 women were enough. He needed to go for 1,000. Just think about that for a second. And then he was addicted to his own power. He caved in to the threefold concupiscence. This whole worship of Baal, sex god. Baal still is worshipped all over the place. He's the god of pornography. He's the god of Tinder. He's the god of promiscuity. The name under which the devil so often is venerated. And that was constantly happening in the Davidic line. And we also see the extraordinary lust for power. The treasure was just not in God, but in maintaining control. So when Ahaziah died, his mother, Athaliah, decided to slay the entire family of the descendants of David. Joash was able to be saved through the priest Jehoiada. Jehoiada was zealous for the Lord. He knew the wickedness that was there. And he raised this boy in the Holy of Holies until he was 7. And he was pronounced king at the time where the age of reason happened. And the priest continued to serve him for the next few decades. And that's when the heart of the Jews was trained on the Lord. He had slain this wicked woman who was following Jezebel, who was more or less 2 generations before. Had her slain because of the way that she had corrupted the people. Had the various priests of Baal slain. He had them all come into the temple and then sent the soldiers in so that they wouldn't be able to continue that evil. But what will we see happen? As soon as Jehoiada dies, the Davidic line goes back to Baal worship, goes back to the things of the flesh. We all need to have people like the priest Jehoiada, who helps others to train their hearts on what really matters. It's an interesting first reading on the feast of Saints Thomas More and John Fisher. Because when we look at Henry VIII, what do we see? In his youth, Henry VIII was a pretty faithful guy. We wouldn't canonize him, but he'd earned the title Defensor Fidei, the defender of the faith. At the time of the Protestant Reformation, as soon as Luther was going, he was signing his name to treatises about the church, about the true faith that was not being propagated by the Lutherans. But what happened? The flesh happened. He wanted to have an heir. Catherine of Aragon wasn't providing one. She wasn't able to get impregnated and so started to look around. Eventually Anne Boleyn comes into the picture. She would give him an heir. And this was more important than his fidelity to the Lord when he wasn't able to persuade for a declaration of nullity from Catherine of Aragon. So he divorces himself from clearly the treasure that Christ had given to his church. The unity that was so much a diadem of the crown. Declares himself to be the head, supreme head of the church in England. But Christ wasn't the supreme head. Not even the successor of St. Peter and the bishops were the supreme head. He was the supreme head. Then he had everybody swear an oath to that fact, and then swear an oath that the child he would have with Anne would be the legitimate heir. And most in England went along with it. His heart had been corrupted. But there were two famous folks who refused. The sole bishop. I will never forget this for the rest of my life. The sole bishop who remained faithful was John Fisher. Everybody else compromised. Everybody else betrayed. Surely, Lord, not I, when Jesus said, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Whereas among the apostolic band, basically they all had betrayed him. In England, all but one. All but one. And then Thomas More, who had been the great advisor and friend of Henry, refused to take the oath because it was lying. His treasure was deeply in the Lord and not in earthly stuff. And even though he would be divested of all earthly goods and ultimately imprisoned and lose his life, his treasure was in the Lord, not in all of these other things, which he so enjoyed, which he recognized were blessing. Henry had gone the way of so many of the kings of Israel. Good start, but then corrupted by the position he had been in to seek the threefold concupiscence. His eye began to become filled with darkness, and he brought that darkness within and that darkness into the church, leading to a great division. There's another way. You know, at the beginning of Mass today, I don't know if you noticed the beautiful prayer. O God, who in martyrdom has brought true faith to its highest expression. Martyrdom is an opportunity for us to be forced to choose what treasure we really have. Is our treasure this world? Is our treasure this life? Is our treasure the good things of this life? Or is our treasure truly God? At the end, we beg God to grant that, strengthened through the intercession of the two saints we celebrate today, we may confirm by the witness of our life the faith we profess by our lips. By our lips we say, God, you are my God. I have no other gods but you. Is that also what the witness of our life says? And if push comes to shove, and there's a choice to be sent to the tower out of fidelity to the Lord, or to be guillotined or beheaded, versus maintaining our life in this world, and so many of the things with which the world tries to bribe us, that we will choose to place our treasure still in the Lord. Sisters, these are the choices we make every day. I'll never preach enough about that passage in St. Ambrose's De Virginitate, written on the feast of St. Agnes in the late 300s, when he was pondering how this 11-year-old girl could be so courageous in the face of threats. How she could confirm by the witness of her life the faith she was professing by her lips. How her faith could receive its fullest expression in her heroic death. And he wrote there, that virginity is praiseworthy not because it is found in martyrs, but virginity is praiseworthy because it makes martyrs. That is not a coincidence, but it's a cause. Because when we really make the choice for chastity, we're saying to ourselves, to the world, to God, you're more important, Lord. You are my treasure. I choose you over the great good of marriage and family life. I choose you and your love over the beauty of human romantic love. You're worth it. You are my treasure. And the more we really make that choice, and the harder sometimes that choice is, the more we're prepared to continue to choose the Lord at the supreme hour in which people are threatening that we will lose the treasure of our life if we maintain the treasure of the Lord. The little things of every day are an opportunity for us to make that choice. And the Lord will never hesitate to send us those occasions by which we need to reaffirm that He is our treasure. Sometimes we need to choose Him over sleep. Sometimes we need to choose Him over our pride. Often we need to choose Him over various worldly goods. But He's worth it. The pearl of great price, worth selling everything else we have to obtain. Each morning, we reorder our treasure. When we come here to Mass, we start to say that we live off every word that comes from His mouth in the Holy Word of God. And then we choose Him in the Eucharist. The Eucharist isn't just an addition to everything else, but it's the real core of our life. We recognize that even if others think that all we're doing is bread worship, cookie worship, that this is where all our idolatries are crushed, to use Pope Francis' expression. So we get on our knees and we say, "You are my Lord. My body pines for You like a dry, weary land without water." Today, as Jesus chooses us as His treasure and dies in order to feed us, we ask for the grace to choose Him in return and to be filled with Him who is the light of the world, so that seeing Him here, we may see Him in all circumstances. And so our soul will be filled with light, and we can bring that same light and that same treasure and that same witness to others. The Lord hasn't just chosen Zion for His dwelling. He's chosen us.